I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. Today's conversation is with Jose Arbayo. He is the Public Information Officer for the County of Riverside Public Health. The focus of our conversation on the program today is coronavirus testing and test sites. So I want to start with my own experience. I was tested yesterday in a drive-through site located in Riverside. Here is the sound for my coronavirus test.
They've taken my name, my information, filled out the paperwork, and now it looks like they're putting my kit together. The women out here are working hard in this hot weather, and they're pleasant. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello. I'm okay.
You can roll your window all the way down for me. What's your name?
Lillian.
Perfect. And what's your
date of birth? 9/12/60.
It's getting hot out here, let me tell you. Okay. And your phone number? Perfect. So that's the number they're going to call you on for your results.
Okay.
They'll let you know positive or negative, and it's usually 3 to 5 days. All right. So I'll give you this information sheet. If you have any questions, there's a hotline number here.
Okay.
If it's been more than 7 days and you haven't heard anything, you can call LabCorp at the number right there.
You guys are pretty pleasant for the hot work and the hard, the heat out here. You guys are good.
Regular. Thank you.
All right, here we go.
All right, so 5 seconds. I'm going to have you take a deep breath in when I get started, and then just blow it out through your mouth, and we'll be done.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Deep breath. And you're done. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you. My goodness.
Okay. Well, that's done.
I'm not sure if my COVID-19 test experience was typical, but I will say that the ladies working at the test site took every precaution and were more than pleasant. If you plan to be tested, allow at least 20 minutes for the entire process. Inland Edition is back with Riverside Public Health Public Information Officer Jose Arbayo, right after the KVCR Pledge Drive request. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. My guest is Jose Arbayo. He is the Public Information Officer for the County of Riverside Public Health. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Today we're talking about testing sites, and I want to know, how is it determined where a testing site and when a testing site will go up, as well as when it will come down?
Well, generally, when there's an area of need, and we tried to locate them in different parts of the county, our first testing sites were all drive-up. We started out in Indio and in Lake Elsinore and in Riverside, so we were trying to catch segments of the county. And those were more strategically located, but they were also large areas. The stadium down in Lake Elsinore, there was a church facility out in the desert area, and then also one in Riverside. And then as we moved forward and were doing better with the testing, we were able to get locations where we needed them for access to hard-to-reach communities, those that are underserved. We went out to the Paris Fairgrounds to try to reach those areas in the southwest part of the county. As we choose them now, the numbers are, I think we're getting close to almost 190,000 tests administered, not just at our testing sites, but our other locations as well. But I think we're trying to find locations that are traditionally underserved, and the smaller communities too. We just created a mobile team that now goes and does the 1 or 2 day testing as opposed to weeks and weeks testing. And as for how we leave a location or close a location, as the numbers begin to slow down at those locations, we kind of get together again and kind of collaborate and decide, well, is it worth keeping these places open for more time, or should we use those resources at another location?
When the COVID first hit, how did you know where you were going to place these sites? Or did you just work with partners in the community?
That was a big part of it. It was a combination of the two. We knew we wanted to be in the different ends of the county, so out in the Coachella Valley, and also Western Riverside County, and also down southwest. So partners there were the churches, the two church sites were great. and then the Lake Elsinore City, they were cooperating with us, and they were very helpful. So they really were the first three sites, and it was a combination of need, location, and the cooperation of the community partners. The churches out in the Coachella Valley that have worked with us have been great, and the one that we started with in Riverside, they were fantastic. They were very helpful. They were very eager to help. Of course, the church site here in Riverside and the one out in Indio, because there was a movement towards having more services there, they were going to be opening up. We ended up going to other locations here in Riverside now at the old Sears facility or Sears property, and then out in Indio at the Indio Fairgrounds.
So what does it take to coordinate, to set up, and to break down? You guys just take your team and you set up, or what's really entails?
Well, it's so much work, particularly on the drive-up ones that take 30 to 40 people between the nurses, the support staff, the clerical staff, even the people out on the – and it gets warm out there – out in the parking lots trying to wave people in and confirming names and information. That's a pretty big operation at each of the sites. So like I said, it's probably 30 to 40 people. At our walk-in sites, there is a lot smaller. Obviously, not as many people involved. There's probably 8 to 10 people involved in those situations, particularly when it's a state-operated facility, because we have 10 of those. Those are just taken by appointment for the most part. They have your paperwork already. They can process you fairly quickly. The other locations, the walk-in county-run facilities are the same way, but they have a little more flexibility in getting people who happen to show up and maybe don't have an appointment. We don't encourage it, but it is a big operation. We have a group here that coordinates it that's in the same location I am as in the Emergency Operations Center. They are constantly working with our community partners, with the state, trying to coordinate resources, materials. It is an operation there. It's amazing to see because how much work is involved in just coordinating this thing. That's even before you get to actually doing the testing.
Right. So let me ask about that. What are the various types of testing that exist in Riverside County or that the county is offering? I haven't had one, so I don't know. What are the different variety of testings that occur?
Sure. Basically, for us, at this point, there's been two. We have the nasal swab and then the one that goes in your throat. Both are considered accurate. I did get a test a few weeks back in Lake Elsinore, and it was the throat swab. Much of that depends on the supplier of our materials. Like I know at Sears, they switch back and forth between the nasal swab and the throat swab. And the important thing to remember with all of these tests that we do at this point is it's a point-in-time test. So it tells you that at the time that you were tested, that you're not positive for COVID-19. And we also encourage people who have symptoms and those who don't have symptoms, those that are asymptomatic, to be tested because we really want a good sampling or a cross sample of the county. And the other thing, too, is we're trying to get more young people to get tested. For some reason, our testing numbers for those under 25, it's pretty small. It's something in the neighborhood of less than 16%.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Jose Abaro. He is the public information officer for the County of Riverside Public Health. Now, as you were just describing, you described the nasal swab and the throat. I think you said, but I want to ask it to be clear, what are the effects of the validity of each of these tests? One more stronger than the other, or?
Sure. No, they're both accurate to our satisfaction, but we wouldn't use them unless we thought they were accurate. And the process for them being done is usually it'll take between 3 and 5 days to get the results back. But in regards to the reliability of the test, we have not heard anything in the way of any negative response from the community or from the pharmaceutical industry for these tests not being accurate.
Okay, so for those that still haven't been tested and maybe have been thinking about it, considering you show up there, you fill out paperwork, you have the swab or the throat done, and in 3 to 5 days, that individual will get something in the mail?
No, what happened is on a negative test, you'll get a voicemail, electronic voicemail, that tells you essentially that you have tested negative. The whole thing, at least on the recording, is maybe 15 seconds. What happens on the positive test is you will actually get somebody, a live person, contacting you, and then to let you know what are the next steps from here.
Oh, and is that what you're referring in the 3 to 5 days, the live person will call back?
Yeah, on the positive test.
Got
on
it.
The negative test, it'll always be an electronic voice that kind of notifies you.
And that's done fairly rapidly. You'll know if it's negative fairly quickly.
Yeah, and like I said, that's the 3 to 5 days. I think for myself, I was tested on a Friday, and I got my results back on Sunday.
At this point, how many tests has the Riverside County team taken?
Overall, as a county, we've done nearly 190,000 tests. There's about a 3% duplication rate, okay, meaning people who have been tested more than once. And that's something that, given that we really want to encourage people to get tested, it's okay to get tested more than one time. We just recommend that you wait at least 14 days from one test to the next.
Okay, 14 days between testing. At this point, what are the plans going forward for test sites? Are we starting to have less? We're going to stay steady? Where are we at this point?
I think the real issue for us, as you know, the state has certain criteria that they are levels that they are requesting as you move forward and open up the economy. One of the metrics that we are having a little struggle with is our positivity rate. So let's say there's a certain number of tests you administer in a day. The target level is having an only 8% or less positivity rate. Right now, we're over that rate. Hopefully, what happens is we test more people who are asymptomatic, who tend to be negative. So the more people are coming to get tested who test negative, that would lower our positivity rate. We can now meet the state's criteria to move on to the opening of the economy. But right now, we're on the state's list for those counties that aren't meeting all of the criteria. So they're monitoring us to make sure we're doing some strategy to get ourselves back within the parameters of moving to the next levels.
And when you say that, you're talking about Riverside County specifically. We're one of the counties that are being watched by the governor's office or the state?
Yeah, yes. So what happens is the state, I think at this point, San Diego and Los Angeles are also on the list among other counties where it's either their positivity rate or one of the other criteria that's used, they've also have fallen behind on. So we are being monitored. And again, we're hoping here that eventually, as more testing gets done and the positivity rate drops, then we can eventually be taken off the list.
Who picks up the tab for the test sites?
Well, right now, we're using our combination of local dollars and money from the Federal CARES Act.
Okay.
What happens is whatever money we would put out now, we would use, we reimburse ourselves through the CARE funding that was received. At that point, the testing for those that come in, there's no cost involved, there's no copay. People who get tested may be asked about their insurance and solely so they can bill the insurance, but there won't be asked for any copay from the insurance company or public health.
So right now, even when they drive up, they will be asked their insurance information, and if they do or don't have it, they're still going to be tested regardless.
Absolutely. We want to make it as easy as possible. The individual, if they don't feel comfortable providing it, that really doesn't matter. It is an issue of attempting to get some sort of reimbursement from the insurance company. But if that's, again, not the case, or they don't feel comfortable doing it, or if they have no insurance, that doesn't mean they can't get tested. We'll test them for sure.
At this point, how often should someone be tested, even if they've already been tested? I do remember you said every 14 days.
There's a couple of things here. In fact, we're hearing it now because, you know, the economy is opening up. We're getting people who have left, traveled outside the state. So what happens is they leave and, let's say, travel over to Texas, let's say, and they're gone for a week. And then you come back and they traveling outside the area, should I get tested? And what we'd recommend is you wait a couple of days, get tested, because that'll provide a snapshot of right now. And then maybe you wait 10 days further and get tested again. So you don't want to do it all the time. You want to do it when there's potential exposure. So when you're doing your traveling outside California and you go to locations where there's potential exposure, that would be where you would want to get tested. Or maybe if there's an exposure that you hear about here when you're here locally, a family member or somebody is a confirmed case, then you want to get tested again. Hopefully it's more than that 14-day period, but you don't want to get tested every other day. Or heard people talking about doing that, and that really is not very good use of resources. There's no reason to get tested unless you suspect you've been exposed to something.
So that's my next question. Who should be tested at this point?
Yeah. We encourage everyone to get tested at least once. Those that are symptomatic, of course, you should get tested. Those that have been exposed to somebody, a confirmed case, should definitely get tested. And then you also have those that have traveled or some other means where, especially out of California, that if you travel, we've had several people that have traveled to Texas for some reason and they travel through New Mexico or some other locations and then to this place or that place. Multiple opportunities for infection. So you come back, and that would be a good time to be tested as well.
Now that more businesses and restaurants and such are starting to open up, do you think same things, follow the same rules every 14 days, or what are you suggesting at this point?
Well, one of the things, it kind of falls in the same way in that if you're feeling okay, you've been tested, you do these different things, you go to these restaurants, you go to a park or you go someplace, you don't necessarily have to get tested. But however, if you go to a restaurant or someplace like that and then you start feeling ill, you might want to consider getting tested at that point, because then you might have been exposed while you were there. It's been a few days, you're not feeling so well. That's when you're potentially, you might have been infected. And again, sometimes it's just a matter of, it's been 3 weeks or it's been 4 weeks. And, because there are also times that you are infected and you don't even know it, and you could be asymptomatic and you can transmit the illness. It's one of those, whatever the person feels comfortable doing. Again, it's just a matter of, you don't want to do it like once a week or something
sure.
like that. But I think the times when you have a potential exposure is when the times you really want to think about it.
You said you've done about 190,000 in the Riverside County. Obviously, the population in Riverside and San Bernardino County is over 4 million.
Right.
So does that mean not enough people have been tested or more need to be tested? What is the one thing you want our listeners to know?
Well, one of the things that we really want people to be tested at least once. We want everybody, as many as possible, to be tested at least one time so that at least they have the peace of mind of being tested once. In some cases, you get, I got a runny nose, I got a headache or this or that, and you kind of start wondering in your head so that you want to be tested. And then maybe you're thinking about visiting other family members in other places, or you're going to be visiting somebody who's over 65 years old. Those are the times you want to be sure that you don't have it. So that's when I would really consider being tested. If you're going to visit with somebody who is an at-risk individual, like I said, somebody with underlying health conditions or those that are over 65, before you go visit them, I'd really consider getting a test, more to reassure yourself that you're not going to potentially get this person ill. And then, of course, then you also get into issues of wearing your face covering and social distancing. And those things are difficult when you're visiting family members or close friends, but I think those are really important things to remember.
Very good. Is there anything I left out or didn't cover or something that you think?
Other than the fact that our numbers are going higher, and our numbers have gone up significantly, of confirmed cases and hospitalizations and deaths over the last 2 weeks, which is a concern.
So I can say, just in this part, that our numbers are going up. Confirmed cases continue to grow. Our guest has been Jose Arbayo. He is the Public Information Officer for the County of Riverside Public Health. Jose, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
More information on the coronavirus testing in Riverside County is available on the Riverside County Public Health website at rivcoph.org. That's rivcoph.org. And remember, if you plan to be tested, allow at least 20 minutes for the entire process. Join us again next Tuesday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 5:30 for Inland Edition. One of the topics next week will be domestic violence in a COVID-19 world. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.